And this is actually the reason I chose Surah Al-Kahf. Why Surah Al-Kahf? Because you read it every Friday. Why do we read it every Friday? If I ask you, many of you will tell me it's Sunnah. Absolutely true, but why? You're going to tell me, probably some of you will know, well, there's a hadith about it. But why? Right? I mean, the Quran is 114 chapters. All of them are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, for example, Surah Al-Kahf or Surah Yasin, as we had covered, right? Or why Surah Yusuf is all, almost all the chapter is stories. Everything has a reason. And the smart person, I call the lucky person, the sight of Allah, when you know this and you keep it in front of you. So two things. Number one is keep yourself busy with the knowledge of Allah. Okay, why it's called, as always, when we come to a chapter, it's going to be at least 6 weeks. This today, it will be an introduction. And the last class will be the summary. In between, we're going to go into what does it have. We're not doing word by word. That's not the plan of this class. It's actually, what do you understand? How you apply it in your daily life. Any surah in the Quran, any chapter you're going to look at, we have said it many times. Number one is the name, right? And if I ask you, why is Surah Al-Kahf? All of you will answer me, because it's the story of Al-Kahf, right? Okay, so why it's not Surah Musa? Why it's not Surah Dhul-Qarnayn? Right? Or Ashab Al-Qarya, Ashab Al-Jannah? There has to be something about the Kahf, the cave, that Allah wants me to pay attention to it in my daily life. So that's number one. Number two, is it a Makki or a Madani? Was revealed in Mecca or was revealed in Medina? You all read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. You better be ready. I'm going to keep asking you, because this is a surah. You read it every Friday. Is it revealed in Mecca or in Medina? How many of you say Mecca? And how many of you say Medina? Okay, and how many of you say, I have no idea? I love it, right? It's definitely Mecca surah. There is some, but it's a weak opinion. It says the beginning of it was revealed in Medina, but it's a weak opinion. So number one, it was revealed in Mecca. Why do I care? Especially for the youth. Who cares, right? This is the common word we say. No, you need to care. Why? Because when it is in Mecca, that means it's something related to my relationship with Allah. And something has to do with my relationship with this deen, my creed, my belief. If it was revealed in Medina, it was something to do with my interaction with the Muslim community. In living in the West, we need the Meccan surahs, because we are bombarded with everything around us does not remind us of Allah. Am I true? I'm talking about daily life, not His creation. Right? You go to work, who's going to remind you, astaghfirullah? Right? You drive here, who's going to remind you, do this or do that? Everything reminds you the opposite. And most of the time, we feel we are strangers. Yes? Yes or no? We feel we are strangers. So Mecca surah, whenever I am weak, and this is for everybody, whenever you're weak, whenever your salah is not the best, whenever the temptations is becoming much more common and much less easier to go against them, then you need to start reading a Meccan surah. For example, Yusuf, when Surah Yusuf, when you are really going through a lot of challenges. Surah Al-Kahf, the main need of Surah Al-Kahf is when I am tested. And the tests is not the bad tests, because we always, when we think about tests, we think disease, we think loss of money. No, no. It is the test of luxury, test of power, test of the deen, and test of knowledge. These are the four things. Every week we go through it. You go to, let's say, school or university, and you think you know. And Allah teaches you how much we don't know. And even the most knowledgeable person still doesn't know. You go to your home, and your home is beautiful. Walillah alhamd. You go to your company. You open your closet, and you see all these beautiful things you have, all the jewelries, all the dunya. And that's the fitna of money. It's in Surah Al-Kahf. Third which we are tested daily is the fitna of our deen. We are being tested every single minute how to stay steadfast. And don't tell me you don't feel it. Even if you don't work, even if you don't leave the house, enough if you turn on your any gadget you have and see how much test. So you go through your TikTok. Is anybody is reminding you of Allah? Is anyone tells you, stay steadfast, there is akhirah? So test of deen, my religion, my faith. Literally, last week, two women reached out to me. It was, I've never had this that frequent. Their children left Islam. Completely. And if when I was talking to the woman, this was face to face. I mean, there's nothing I can say because the woman tells you, I've done everything I can do. And I have no reason not to believe her because even the way she presented it, subhanAllah, two of her children and the other lady, two of her children. So the fitna, the test, the trials, the temptations, why do I want to be a Muslim? It's very difficult. It's hard. All this. Now, alhamdulillah, I don't have a problem with my deen. Alhamdulillah, I believe in Allah. I'm fine. Then you come to the test of money, which is the biggest one, especially here. Many of you have not lived outside California. But if you live outside California, those of you who have moved from outside California, you know how much temptations are here. It's beyond you. The weather is the biggest temptation. You may laugh, but it is. It is. The comfort, the beauty around you, everything, even the city is beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful cities I lived in. That's temptation. Because many of us are not grateful. We don't even think of it. Third is knowledge. And talk about the young people. Or anybody gets a PhD. Or publish a paper. Or do a presentation. And how much arrogance gets into us. And then the last but not the least, power. And to me, this is the most dangerous one. When Allah puts you as a leader in any form or shape, even as young as an MSA president or MENA president or whatever, but you have few people under your authority. And tell me you're going to stay focused on Allah. You're going to stay absolutely humble. And you're going to stay in saying, I didn't do anything, it's all from Allah. Basically, that's what Surah Al-Kahf. Every week it keeps reminds me. And if you really pay attention, every week you're going to see which one I'm being tested. And if you analyze yourself, many of us, at least one of them. So in Surah Al-Kahf, is not about my belief in Allah, rather how I stay focused and connected in Allah with all these tests around me. All these tests around me, and I'm going to stay going, focused. He keep reminds me. Very unique about Surah Al-Kahf. There is four stories in it. You all know that. Yes? Bismillah. We have first is the people of the Kahf. Youth, but they were focused on their deen and strong in their deen. Second, people of money. One has money, brag about it, and the other one doesn't have money. Third, There's a pause in between. I'll come to it. Third is Sayyidina Musa, the prophet. Musa, Kareemullah, the one who talked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Allah tested him and showed him he doesn't know. Subhanallah. Then the last but not the least, power. Dhul Qarnayn, the positive view of a person with power. Every story, pay attention to that. Every story, at the end of the story. The story is done. There is a message from the story. And this is what I want you from next week. Please come. You already have read it because you know it. But tell me, where is the message at the end of the story? Every story has a message at the end. Allah talks to either Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam or he tells us. Summary, what do you need to learn from that? So next week, we're going to be covering the first one, which is the youth of the cave. What did he say at the end? Go to the two men of the gardens. See what he said at the end. Interestingly, in the middle, there's a pause, which is suddenly Allah starts talking about Iblis. And he's the only place in the Quran where he said, Iblis is min al-jinn. The only time he said, kana min al-jinn fafasaqa an amri rabbi. I'm giving you all these things. I want you to think of it, write it down. If you can look it perfectly. So when I say it's not something new. But you need to ask, why did Allah, and again, you're not questioning the Quran. You really want to know, why did Allah put this in the middle? He put one story, second, then came and talked about Iblis. It's not a story. We have heard this story many places, but it's different here. And then he goes back and talks about knowledge and talks about power. Beginning and the end is different. There is an introduction and there is a finale.